Let's turn in God's Word to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel in the chapter 10. We'll commence our Bible reading at the opening verse. Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, it shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. May the Lord take his word blessed to our hearts for his name's sake. Let us pray. In the light of thy word, we come to thee, O gracious God, to commit this time of gospel preaching into thy care. We pray that thou wilt still our hearts, that we might know that thou art God, and that thou hast spoken already through thy word. We thank thee that every word that we have read has been given by divine inspiration. We thank thee that every word is pure, every word is true. And we pray indeed that the word of God will be written indelibly upon our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Speak to us now. O God, we open our hearts to thee. We pray that thou wilt come and abide with us and commune with us in the word, and that thou wilt speak very especially to those who are not ready for eternity, who are still destined to the caverns of the damned. O God, we pray that this meeting will count for eternity, and that sinners will be converted to Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice this evening, and by way of emphasis, I want you to notice this because it's mentioned twice over in our reading, the little phrase, "The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." We have it there at the end of verse 9 and also at the end of verse 11. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. In this chapter of Luke's Gospel, 70 disciples are chosen in addition to the 12, and they are sent forth by Christ. And they are given a commission to preach the gospel. As in every age, the laborers were few. Right back in the days when the Lord walked on the earth, the laborers were few then. And the Lord Jesus lamented over this several times in his ministry. And here in verse 2, he says, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." And as it was in the days of Christ, so it has been through the succeeding generations and centuries, right up to the present time, the laborers are still few. But the Lord sends these men out to preach the gospel. They go forth from city to city and present the kingdom of God. Some of the cities, the Lord tells them, would receive them. They would come to know the Lord. And so there would be success. There would be triumph. There would be tremendous joy. Souls would come to trust Christ as Savior. We know something of the success of this mission, because we read in verse 17 that these disciples come back to Christ, having been sent out and fulfilled the work that the Lord had given them to do. They come back to the presence of the Lord with joy, the Bible says, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Jesus says in verse 20, "Notwithstanding in this rejoice not." In other words, let that not be the center of your joy. It's not the end all and the be all that the spirits are subject unto you. But he gives them a better reason to rejoice in the fact that their names were written in heaven. But joy and success was not everywhere experienced. Of course, it is a wonderful thing whenever the preaching of the gospel brings success, whenever souls are wrought upon and saved, and that's ever our desire. It's the longing of our hearts when we have gospel meetings and gospel missions, and we go out in outreach, that souls will be enlightened and that they will come to trust Christ as Savior. And when that happens, there's great joy, there's triumph in the gospel, there's spiritual success and victory. But that's not always the case. Some cities would receive them, but other cities would reject them and reject the message that they presented. To such a place of rejection, Christ had a special word. He instructed the disciples to make a testimony against those cities before heaven as they left its boundaries. Look there at what we read in verses 10 and 11. "But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." The fact that the gospel was preached there, even though they rejected the Lord and rejected the message of these disciples, was a great honor. It was a great privilege and blessing. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. In other words, they were brought near to glory. They were brought near to salvation. They were brought within the reach of Christ the Savior. Sadly, some who hear the gospel reject Jesus Christ. It is an unspeakable blessing to listen to a gospel sermon. And of course, God requires action. And he's looking for a response. And when men and women gather in beneath the influence of God's word and the gospel is preached, the Lord is looking for a response in their heart. Emphasis is placed in the scriptures on the subject, judgment according to privilege. We were reading this morning at the early morning prayer meeting from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. And there we read, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." So there's judgment according to privilege. And where there's light, where there's understanding, where there's a knowledge of the gospel, and this privilege is enjoyed, hearing about Christ the Savior, then the Lord requires men to act upon that knowledge, and they have a responsibility to turn from their sin. Some of these cities the Lord Jesus singles out by way of notorious example. He mentions Chorazin, Bethsaida, and also Capernaum, all bordering on the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus Christ did most of his mighty works. These cities are much like the cities and the towns and the villages in Ulster in comparison to the rest of the world. Many parts of the world do not have the privileges that we have here in Northern Ireland. Our cities, our towns, our villages have the gospel. And almost in every town in this province of ours, there is a faithful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel is preached. And there's many who sit in our churches and they are portrayed here. They're just like these people who lived in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. And they have the privilege that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about. They are exalted to heaven through the preaching of the word. But alas, as you read the scriptures here, you discover that these privileged cities, exalted to heaven, are brought down to hell because they rejected the message that these disciples preached about the kingdom of God. And I want you to think about that subject this evening. Exalted to heaven, but brought down to hell. Notice with me, first of all, the tremendous privileges bestowed upon these cities. These were three of the cities where Jesus Christ had often walked. Into them the blessed Son of God entered. His feet walked in the streets. His voice was heard within their walls. And some of the most outstanding deeds that the Lord Jesus Christ ever did were done within these three cities. Now the city of Chorazin is mentioned here. This city is not singled out in the New Testament for any particular deed that Jesus did there. In fact, we know virtually nothing about this city. But we are assured by the statement that we have in our reading that there must have been very noteworthy miracles wrought in that city. It was 2 miles north of the city of Capernaum. And probably the mighty works that the Lord Jesus Christ did in Capernaum were of the same nature that he wrought here in Chorazin. We know that when Christ dwelt at Capernaum, he said back in the Gospel of Mark in the chapter 1 and verse 38, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore I came forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. So the Lord traveled from Capernaum and he went into these other cities, into these other towns, and he preached the gospel there and he did wonderful works there also. The last verse of the Gospel of John reminds us that there were many things done by the Lord that are not recorded in the New Testament. In fact, John tells us here that there were many other things which Jesus did the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And so the gospel narratives gives to us a summary of the ministry of Christ. It tells us in little detail some of the things that the Lord Jesus did when he was here upon the earth. But there's also many other things. And if they were all written down, they would contain book after book, volume after volume, that even the world's libraries couldn't contain of all that the Lord Jesus did when he walked among men. So we are certain, because of what we read here in Luke's Gospel chapter 10, that the Lord Jesus Christ did many wonderful miracles in the city of Chorazin. Bethsaida is mentioned. And the Bible does tell us about wonderful deeds of Christ there. I see a blind man led by the hand. He beseeches the Master for a touch. He has lived in a world of darkness. He couldn't see. And that was his life, blind day after day, sightlessness. What an affliction. But he comes to the Lord and he beseeches the Lord that the Lord might touch him. And the Lord takes him out of the town and restores his sight. That was a mighty miracle. Not far from Bethsaida, there were many cases of healing that the Scripture tells us about. In fact, all who came with all their diseases, with all their maladies and distempers, they were healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. The 5,000 were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish just beside Bethsaida. And that was a mighty deed. And then the Lord speaks about Capernaum. Capernaum was the headquarters of Christ's ministry. If you have Bible maps that give to you the movements of Christ, the journeys that the Lord Jesus took when he was here upon the earth in his 3.5 years ministry, you will find that again and again he returned to the city of Capernaum. Here the centurion's servant was healed. He had a palsy. He suffered greatly. The Lord didn't even have to go to the home of the man. He just spoke the word, and the miracle was done, and the servant received healing. If you go back again to the Gospel of Mark in the chapter 1, we read about Capernaum. In verse 21, they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits? And they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. If you look there on down at verse 30, Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them, and so forth and so on. And you're going to read about what the Lord did in Capernaum time and time again. Capernaum was the place where Jairus' daughter was raised to life again. So what I'm saying is that there were many, many mighty miracles done in this city. But despite all the miracles, the inhabitants of these cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, remained hardened and impenitent. They didn't come to believe in Christ. They didn't come to experience his salvation. They didn't enter into the kingdom despite all the miracles that were done. Miracles proved who he was. that he was indeed the Son of God, the promised one of God. But they refused to accept him. Blessings were poured out upon these cities without measure. Not only were the mighty miracles, high privileges given to them, but note the words that we have mentioned here at the beginning of our service by way of emphasis. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you, and thou art exalted to heaven. My friends, the gospel was brought to their doors, preached in their streets, echoed in their homes, sounded forth with all plainness and solemnity. They were lifted towards heaven. They were brought to the very gates of glory. They stood within reach, as it were. How privileged were the inhabitants of these cities. God had done all within his power to bestow opportunity after opportunity upon these people. In the coming of Christ among them and the preaching of Christ to them, heaven had come down and they were brought up to heaven. And that was a wonderful privilege. Some of you in this meeting tonight, you're like Chorazin. You're like Bethsaida. You're like Capernaum. The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you, and thou art exalted to heaven. How many times have you been brought there? How many times have you been brought near to the very doors of glory? How many times has the gospel been preached to you? And you've heard about Christ the Redeemer, who went to the cross and laid down his life. You and I, as guilty sons of Adam, might have redemption through his blood, time and time again. And of course, we've had our mission. We have had the 2 weeks of gospel preaching. What a blessed time that was. Men and women were being exalted to heaven. They were being brought to the very kingdom of God, to the very doors of glory. You can look back over your life, can't you? Some of you taught from your infancy the message of the gospel in your mother's knee. Brought to the Sunday school. Brought to children's meetings. Coming perhaps even to the Bible class and the young people's meeting on a Friday night. You've heard message after message in the gospel services here. You've attended mission after mission after mission. And as a result, you have been given the privilege of hearing about the Savior. What a privilege it is. And these people who lived in these three cities had that tremendous privilege. But I want you to notice, secondly, as you look there at verse 13, the terrible rejection that was demonstrated. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, says the Lord. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And of course the inference is there that they didn't repent. They didn't come to seek the Lord. They rejected the message of the gospel. All these miracles were performed in their presence. Many a sermon they listened to. Yes, even from the lips of the Son of God, as well as the disciples. And often they were brought near to the Lord, yet they refused the call. They were ungrateful. And that sin was inexcusable. The gospel was brought to their doors, but they shut the door and they barred their doors against Christ. And that's what some people in this meeting have been doing for years. Time and time, the Lord has called you again. You have felt his tender voice pleading with your soul. His hand has knocked on the door. But you will not open the door. You will not come to him. During our mission, I remember the Lord's servant quoting from the opening chapter of Proverbs. Let me remind you of what the Word of God teaches here. The Lord says in verse 23, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. And the Lord is telling us here that he called upon the people of Solomon's time to turn from their sin. He called them in grace. He called them in mercy. But they refused the call. They turned away from the speaking voice of the Lord. And the Lord has sent messengers. And he sent preachers today. And they have bidden you to come. But you will not come. And you harden your heart. He has stretched forth his hands. He has pleaded with you. He has spoken to your heart. He has demonstrated his power in your life. But you have rejected. He says in verse 13 of our reading in Luke chapter 10, concerning the Gentile cities, that if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, that's in Chorazin and Bethsaida, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. These Gentile cities had no Bible. They heard no sermon. They saw no miracle. But if they had, Jesus says that they would have repented. If they had received the same privileges that Israel received, that these cities had received, they would have turned from their sins long ago. You know, my friends, other nations of our world are not as privileged as you. Let me remind you of the privilege of the gospel that we have in this country. There's places in the world where the name of Jesus Christ have never been spoken. There's places in the world where the gospel is unknown, but we have it here. And I tell you, bringing it that little bit closer to home, England is not as privileged as you are. I ministered there for almost 4 years, and that was back then, quite a few years ago. And it was dark then, and people were in ignorance then. My friends, it's even worse now. But still the light is burning in Northern Ireland, and the gospel message is still being sounded forth in this wee country of ours. It may be that others would sooner have come and embraced Christ the Savior and been saved long ago than you, my friend. You reject the gospel. You despise the Lord Jesus. You ignore his call. You trample his feet or his blood beneath your feet. And you reject the gospel message. You murder every opportunity that is given to you. How foolish! These people reject it. Well, notice the tragic condemnation that is foretold. Verse 12. Jesus says, I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Verse 14, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, verse 15, which are exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. Tyre and Sidon had many wicked sinners, no doubt, living in those places. But Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum were more wicked and perverse because they rejected the gospel. How vile and depraved were the citizens of Sodom. And we think of the vile, vile sins of those cities that were destroyed in the awful judgment that fell. And yet the Lord is saying that Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum were more vile. For despite all the privileges poured out, they shut their hearts to Jesus and they said no to the Holy Ghost. I believe tonight in degrees in hell. I believe what the Lord is saying here concerning the judgment to come. It will be more tolerable for those who have never heard, for those who have never had the privileges, for those who have never had the Bible, never had the gospel preached to them, never had Christ presented to them, than for those who heard the word of the Lord and rejected it. Exalted to heaven, but thrust down to hell, says the Lord Jesus. And that word thrust down to hell is speaking about being thrust down to the lowest part of hell. The homosexual has a terrible perdition awaiting him. The murderer has his just deserts laid up in store for him. The man of lust and sensuality and immorality is facing a fearful sentence. The child molester and pervert has an awful hell awaiting him, but nothing compared to the souls who have been exalted to heaven. I want you to see what the Lord is teaching here. I want you to see the sin that the Lord is identifying in the Word of God. The sin of rejection. Rejecting light, rejecting knowledge, rejecting truth, rejecting the gospel. And all sinners need to do is just to sit on and do nothing as they hear the gospel pressed upon their conscience. And one day they will be lost forevermore, and they will go down to the sides of the pit. You see, the greatest sin that a man can commit is rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. And some of you in this meeting are guilty of that sin. Oh, that you would throw away such foolishness. That you would come to Christ. That you would throw down your arms of rebellion and cease your rejection of the Savior. But rather tonight that you would open your heart and bid Him enter while you may, and call upon the Savior while He's near in this meeting tonight. Exalted to heaven, brought down to hell. Will you be numbered with the inhabitants of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum? Will you join them in a lost eternity because you have rejected the greatest privilege of all? You have rejected Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. We thank God for the mission that we've had, and the Lord was passing by night. We thank God for the work that was done and for those who came to the Savior. But as we said last week, the work of the mission goes on. There's a work that still needs to be done. And these Sunday nights at our gospel meetings, the Lord is still going to be working. We thank God that we're still on the day of grace, the day of opportunity. The door is still open for sinners to enter and be saved. My friend, if you know not Christ as Savior, come to Him tonight. O Heavenly Father, impress upon our hearts the truths that are taught in Thy Word in this chapter. These cities of great privilege, having the Lord walk in their streets, perform His mighty miracles there, preach the gospel there, and yet they spurned His call, turned away from His speaking voice and rejected Him. Oh, what an awful sin to be exalted to the very gates of heaven and yet to be brought down to the sides of a lost sinner's hell. What a tragedy. We pray, dear gracious God, that none will be guilty of such a sin in this meeting. But those without Thee will come to trust the Lord. That they will come this night without delay and seek Christ as their personal Savior. Give them grace to take that step of faith for the Savior's sake. Amen.